over, let's turn it over and over, over, let's turn it over. And Paro doesn't know Yosef. They built Pidom and then Ramses. Yocheved becomes Amram's wife. They float Moshe to save his life. Grows up in the palace, Paro's son has a fight, heads to Midian. Back to Egypt, bring the plagues, paint your doorposts, you are saved. Over, over, let's turn it over and over.
This week's Parsha is Va'era and picks up where we left off with the story of Moshe, Pharaoh, and Yitziat Mitzrayim. The story of freeing Bnei Israel from their slavery in Egypt. And if you want to hear much of the story of Va'era, you can go back and listen to last year's telling of Va'era, which is linked in the description of this week's podcast. But at the heart of this week's Parsha are the first seven Makot, the first seven plagues. We have Dam, the blood, Tzvardeya, the frogs, Kinim, the lice, Arov, the wild swarm of animals, Dever, the pestilence that comes to the livestock, Shrin, the boils, and then Barad, the hail. And the description of all of those plagues is found in the telling of last year's Parsha, and I talked about it in this week's all-school Parshat HaShavua. But an angle that I want to take for the podcast is thinking about how all of this impacted the Egyptians, the Mitzrim. Because the story is often told as a battle between Pharaoh and Moshe on behalf of God, but there were Egyptian citizens who, both in the Tanakh text and in the Midrashim, are referred to, and their side of the story is really very interesting because we can watch as their faith in their leader, Pharaoh, slowly, slowly erodes with each plague. So starting with the Dam, when the Nile River turns to blood, at first the Pharaoh says, "Ugh, that is just a simple magic trick, Moshe. Literally anybody can take food coloring and turn water red." Although, of course, he hadn't turned it just red, he had turned it into blood. And the magicians fairly quickly are able to turn water into blood. And so the Pharaoh says, "Moshe, that is not convincing for me at all." But the Torah tells us that the Egyptians had to dig out deep, deep underwater to find any clean water that they could possibly use for drinking, for bathing, for cleaning, for cooking. The plague of blood became a terrible inconvenience for the Egyptians, even though Pharaoh and his magicians were able to make the same things happen as a magic trick. And so then the Tzvardeya, then the frogs, come out, which is another thing that magicians are able to do. I mean, even magicians nowadays have no problem making animals appear. Pulling a rabbit out of a hat, well, making frogs appear is not that difficult for the magicians. Their problem is making them go away. There were so many frogs all over the place, both that God had sent and that the Egyptians had at least convinced Pharaoh that they had brought. But with a bloody Nile River and not much place for them to go, the frogs all died out. And it says in the Tanakh that there was a pile of dead frogs that obviously stank very, very badly. And so you can imagine what it must be like to be an Egyptian, where your water source either is blood and smells like blood and dead fish, or you have to dig really deep to find it. But not only that, it stinks of the blood and the dead fish, and now dead frog carcasses. I'm sorry if that is too gross for you listening. It was awful. And the people said to Pharaoh, "Come now, Pharaoh, making frogs appear, okay. But if you're not going to get rid of them, then you need to let the people go." And so that was the first time that Pharaoh says, okay, Moshe, if you get rid of these dead frogs, I will let the people go. But then, of course, his heart is hardened and he tricks Moshe and he doesn't agree. Then, with the lice, for the first time, the Egyptians see something that Moshe does that the magicians can't do. Moshe hits the ground, causing dust to fly in the air, and that dust miraculously turns into lice bugs, the quinine. And so, as they're itching around, they say, hey, Pharaoh, if Moshe is starting to be able to do things that our magicians can't do, maybe there's something real here. Maybe he's not just doing magic tricks. Maybe it really is his god. And then the Arov, the swarm of wild animals, which could be wild poisonous bugs, which could be snakes, which could be lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Whatever it is, it's these wild, dangerous animals that are not just prowling the streets of Egypt. According to the Midrash, these animals were coming into people's homes and setting up camp. Like an Egyptian house became a bear den or a lion's den. And so the Egyptians not only were afraid to go outside, they were afraid to stay inside because these animals were all around them all the time, biting them, attacking them, scaring them. And the people go to Pharaoh and they say, hey, we can't live like this. I mean, it's one thing for inconvenience of figuring out how to get water, it's another thing for us to have the terrible stank of the smell and knowing that these are miracles sent by a divine being. But to have the fear every day that you're going to wake up in your bed and be staring into the eyes of a lion who wants to eat you, that is really bad, Pharaoh. Please, let the people go. And the Pharaoh agrees to let the people go. And then, of course, as always, he changes his mind and the negotiations fall apart and the Israelites are still enslaved. And then the Dever, the pestilence, the disease that kills off all of their domesticated livestock. So that's cows and sheep and goats. They're all dying and rotting away. And so now, for the first time, really, the plagues, the Makot, go after the infrastructure of Egypt, go after the people's food. Because now they don't have meat, because even though these animals died, all of the meat is rotten. And now they can't get milk and they don't have eggs. And making it even worse is that they hear from the Israelite slaves that everything in Goshen, where Bnei Israel is living, is actually totally fine. The Egyptians see these slaves coming in with bottles of milk or pieces of meat that they're eating. And they say, hey, where'd you get that? I thought all the animals had died off. And they said, oh, no, not in Goshen. In Goshen, where we live, none of these plagues have been happening. The wild animals, the lice, the frogs, we didn't get any of that. And the Egyptians begin to say, okay, that is crazy. I mean, you guys just live right on the other side of a border with us. I mean, there is no reason that your animals should be fine and all of our animals are sick. Pharaoh, there is really something going on here. I mean, this is obviously a direct attack against us as Egyptians. It's not just something happening in nature. It's obviously about the fact that you won't let the people go. And Pharaoh is still stubborn, and then Moshe and Aaron, they take soot, fire ashes, and they throw them up into the air, and then the soot becomes boils, this disgusting, uncomfortable skin disease. And Pharaoh says to the Egyptian magicians, he says, can't you just turn soot into boils also? And they say, Pharaoh, we can't even lift our arms. We have such terrible skin disease. So, to take soot and throw it up into the air is not even something we can do. Do you hear us now telling you that this isn't like a normal thing that's going on, Pharaoh? We are in a terrible situation. You have to let the people go. And then with the final plague of this week's Parsha, the Barad, the hail, a Midrash says that the Egyptians, realizing that things were not so bad in Goshen, actually ran away from Egypt proper, trying to hide in Goshen, thinking, okay, well, if Goshen is safe, then Goshen is where I want to be. But God sends hail into Goshen, but never touching an Israelite home, never touching an Israelite person, just picking off all of the Egyptians that had tried to run away. These big balls of fiery hail come down and explode onto the Egyptians that had tried to seek refuge in Goshen. And so the Egyptians say, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, this isn't inconvenient anymore. This isn't even dangerous. This is life-threatening. And there is nowhere for us to run. There's nowhere for us to hide. The only thing to do is for you to please, Pharaoh, let their people go. And Pharaoh still holds on to his stubbornness. His heart is still hardened. And he says, I'm not even going to consider letting these people go. That is, not until next week's Parsha. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, enjoy the new month of Shvat. May it be a month of blessing and goodness for all of us. Let's turn it over.